But I wanted to talk to you today about your living for something. And you see the picture up there of this little girl, and she's got this big lollipop in front of her. And all you can see is her eyes and her little hat. And I wonder what's behind that. I wonder if there's a smile behind that or a frown or whatever, because it kind of reminds me of my life, how I had all these things in my life, and every once in a while I'd peek over to see what else was out there, like God, for example. And fortunately, one day he peeked back at me, you know. But and I want to talk to you today about some experiences I've had, and I might be able to share them with you, that you might be able to grasp something from Jesus Christ. And I'm starting out. I'm going to be speaking, and I'm going to be talking about a lot of verses. And by the way, before I really get into this, could the ushers hand out those yellow notes to everyone? And if you look at these notes, you'll find that, unlike Pastor Bob, I don't put a lot of stuff on them, because I want you to write things down. I want you to be thinking. I don't want to tell you everything. I want God to speak in your heart. And so you, if you get these, you'll see there's just, it says on there, you're living for something. And then it says, I forget now, what, why, and how. All right, that's kind of curious, isn't it? It's like, oh, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you in a little bit. But before I get there, I want you, if you could, open your Bibles to Job. And if you've never read Job, I would encourage you to do that, because it's a very interesting book. Here's a man that has everything. I mean, he has everything. He has all kinds of kids and grandkids and sheep and donkeys and camels, I imagine, and everything. And in an instant, he loses it all. And as you read through him, he goes back and forth with his friends talking, trying to console him and such. And he gets to the point in chapter 38, and Job is just before Psalms. I mean, I think Psalms, right? Or Proverbs. Psalms, yes. And I'm just going to read the first three verses, because he's been having conversation, and then God speaks to him. And God says this: "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, 'What is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourselves like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me.'" Our Father God, we come before you and we lift you up, Jesus. And we hope that this service is all about you, about what you do for us, about what you provide for us, Lord, how you want our love, how you want us to follow you, Lord. I just pray that everyone would grasp that this morning, how much you love us and how much you care for us. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, you know, my walk with the Lord has been an interesting walk. And God has spoken to me many, many times in my walk. But there are three distinct times that he spoke to me. And I'd like to share that with you, because God will speak to us in many different ways. He'll speak to us through his word. He'll speak to us through other people. He'll speak, sometimes he speaks to me in his nature. This morning I was walking out by the plants out there, and I remember when all those things got planted. And I'm looking, and there's one tree there that's dead. And I'm looking at the other plants, and the plants are flourishing. They're getting bigger, and it's like, wow, this is kind of cool. And I thought about, and God put on my mind, you know, it's like the people in the church. We either flourish and grow, or we're like that dead tree. And I don't know why that tree died. I don't know if the tree didn't get the right nourishment or whatever. But if you come to this church and you're a Christian, you should be getting the nourishment that you need to grow. And so when I was out there walking, it was like, yeah, God, this is interesting. But he speaks to us in many different ways. There are three times, and I'm going to share those with you, distinct times that he spoke to me. Once was when I was called to this church 10 years ago, Pastor Bob, something like that. And I'm in Minnesota, and I'm working, and I'm doing things. And I was listening to some music, Christian music. And I can't remember the song right now. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, oh, wow. And it was like, you got to go to San Diego. You got to go out there for 2 years. And it wasn't just to come here. It was to give everything I had away and come. And it was like, wow, okay. Now what do? Well, I counseled with some friends, and I counseled with, I have about four or five that I counsel with, and I can't remember if I talked to five or four. It's been a long time ago, but only one of them said, you need to go to San Diego. Because you see, the church that I was in, there was somebody in the church that wanted to pay my salary if the church would put me on staff. And I didn't know that until I went to the pastor to ask him if I could solicit in the church to raise funds to come out here. And when I went to see the pastor, he said, well, gee, Dave, I'm glad you came to talk to me first. You know, he was a little upset with me. But so now I had my beautiful house, all my furniture, all my stuff. I had a great ministry going on. And I'm struggling with this. And I'm sitting in my chair in my house, and I'm praying about it. And I can't tell you that God spoke to me audibly or anything. I can't explain how it works. But it was like, as I'm praying about it, it was like, go to San Diego. And it was like all the pressure, everything, all the anxiety, it just went away. It just went away. And I knew this is where I had to come. And so I came. I was here for 2 years and left. The second time that I heard from God, and this time it was kind of audible. I don't know how to explain that. It seemed like it was audible because many times in my walk, I've argued with God. It's like, all right, God, what do you want from me now? Right? And so I decided, you notice the word I? I decided I need to go down to Mexico and work in the orphanage. And while I'm down there, I'm going to learn Spanish. And I'm going to do all these great things. So I go down to Mexico all by myself. I wasn't sponsored by anybody or anything. I went down there and I'm working in this orphanage. Great kids, great people. Loved them. Hated the food. They fed me refried beans all the time. And I'm not a fan of Mexican food, as a lot of you know. And I'm walking out one night. I'm walking out on the terrace, and I'm frustrated. I'm not learning Spanish. Nothing's really happening. I'm just frustrated. I'm outside, and I'm walking, and I'm going to God. I'm going, what do you want from me, God? And I heard this, obedience. And it was like, what? But I'm here. And then I stopped. And I realized that I wasn't there for him. I was there for me. And I wasn't being obedient because sometime between the time I left here and the time I went there, I quit listening to him. The third time that I heard from God very clearly, not in a loud voice, was about 2:00 in the morning on Wednesday. And here it is. I got up and wrote it down. And it was interesting because instead of me crying out, what do you want from me, God? God said to me, David, what do you want from me? Have you ever thought about that? What do you want from me? I mean, we all ask God for things, right? And that's the first thing on your yellow sheet there. It says, what? It says, what? And I want you to think, there it is. What? What do you want from God? Think about it. And I suggest that you write something down. Think about what do I want from God? Well, I had to think about it and I had to pray about it. Because over my years of my walking with the Lord, there's many things I've wanted. I've wanted money, I've wanted success, I've wanted this, I've wanted that. I've wanted a lot of different things, and many of you have too. And God, you know, sometimes will provide those things. But what do you want? What do you want from God? If God was standing here today and he said, what can I do for you? I'm serious about this now. Think about what you might say. Because I laid there praying and thinking. And what came to me, because God has provided a lot for me, I wanted, what am I doing here, Pastor? I wanted what Paul got. There it is. Nope, went too far. I'm going the wrong way, I'm sorry. In Philippians 4:11-13, Paul says, I have learned to be content. Whatever my circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And you think about Paul. Paul, he wrote most of his letters when he was imprisoned. Paul came from wealth and stature. He was a big man in the Jewish community, and he was actually killing Christians and persecuting them. And he, you would think he had everything. But Paul has a peace and a contentment. And you know why that is? Is because he's not asking for a whole bunch of stuff. He just wants Jesus. And with Jesus in your heart, and if you live for Jesus, you will have that peace and contentment. And I'm serious. That has never happened to me before where God has asked me what I want. And it wasn't a loud voice. It wasn't, and it was, I mean, it was like I'm sleeping and it was like, oh, well, what am I awake for? And then I get this. And he says, David, what do you want from me? Wow. Think about that. If God asked you, what do you want? What do you want? I'll give it to you. It's amazing, isn't it? The next thing on your list there that I had to ask myself, why do I want that? Right? Now, you wrote some things down, maybe, or you thought about some things in your mind when I asked what. Now, I want you to think about, well, why do you want that? Why do we want the things that we get, right? Look at the girl with the lollipop. I bet she's just tickled pink. She has this big old lollipop, and she can lick on it for days, it looks like, before it would even go away, right? But you know, why would she want that? Why would you want what you ask God for? Okay? Why would you do that? Well, I'm going to tell you the conclusion that I came to. I want what Paul has. I want his peace and his contentment for me, but I also want that peace and contentment for the glory of God, for Jesus Christ. So when you ask, when God says, what do you want? And he says, and you say, I want this, I want that. Ask yourself, why do I want that? Do you want it for your glory? Or do you want it so that you can glorify him? I mean, I used to think, oh, wow, I'm going to buy this lottery ticket. If I win this $5 million or $50 million or whatever, oh, wow, look at all this good stuff I could do, God. Well, you know what? God doesn't need me to win the lottery to make a lot of good stuff happen. God can do that on his own, right? So in that thought process, you know, when you're thinking like that, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, all right, God, I'll win that, and then I'll do this, and gee, I'll build a brand new church right here in San Diego, and we'll buy the park over there, and we'll just have just a heyday. Well, God can do that without me. He can do that without me winning the lottery. But in reality, if you think about it, winning the lottery and building the church here and doing all those kinds of things, who's getting the glory? Oh, look at Pastor Dave. Oh, look at the money he's, look at what he did. Oh, look at what he did. We have to be careful what we ask for. We have to be careful why we're asking for it. Because if it's not for God's glory, then it's for yours. And I'm going to breeze through a couple of, oh, I already did, or Pastor Bob did, somebody. All right, here we go. Matthew 6:2. There's three verses in Matthew I want to read to you. And write these down so you can read and look them up. It says, Jesus is talking, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. There's another verse. You're going to click? Okay. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And the third verse is Matthew 6:16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. My point in all this is this. When God says, what do you want from me? And you ask him for it, and you ask yourself why. You see, when Jesus said, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full, they were trying to impress men. And they did. But they didn't impress God. They did not do it to honor God. They did it to honor themselves. And we have to be careful of that in our walk with the Lord. We have to be careful that we're not doing it for us, that we're doing it for him, that he will be glorified. That because you see, when we do things and we're glorifying God, I spoke on Monday at Celebrate Recovery, and I'm so, so happy. You can't imagine how happy I am that Celebrate Recovery is still going on. This is the second one that I've set up. And, you know, the first one was in Wilmer. And when I walked away from it, some of the elders came to me and they said, Dave, what's going to happen to Celebrate Recovery when you leave? It's the only outreach we have. And I said, look, it'll continue on if it was about Jesus. If it was about me, it's going to fail. And I try to do all things that I do, I try to do for Jesus. And I try so that he gets the glory. But the Celebrate Recovery is continuing on. Gary is getting 50, 60 people every meeting. I left here and the Celebrate Recovery was going to go down. And Jesus laid it on Roki's heart. Pastor Bob's up here about ready to shut it down. And Roki says, wait a minute. That ain't what God wants. And it's still going on. And it's doing good. I mean, it was so cool. I don't know how many people are here on Monday, 20, 25, I suppose. You know, it's so cool. Because they come and they're honest and they're forthright with each other. And they come knowing that, hey, I'm messed up. I need some help. And that brings me to one other thing I wanted to talk about. Is why we come to the Lord. And I got a call yesterday from, I'll call her Susie. I don't really know the girl very well, but she called me because someone told her to. She's distraught. Her husband drinks, and they got into a physical confrontation. And she got hauled away to jail. And he's the drunk. Now, I don't know who's right and who's wrong. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I do know that she called out to me, and I talked to her for quite some time, and then I prayed for her. And I just found it interesting. When I finished praying for her, she was just sobbing. And her language when she was talking to me about her husband wasn't very nice. You know, one of the things, the first things that happened to me when I got saved was my language, I quit cursing. And she was cursing and such, and she had all this anger. And I talked to her about, you can't make decisions when you're emotionally distraught like this. You can't make decisions about someone, about your life when you're angry. But you see, she was seeking God. She sought me out, but in reality, she was really seeking God. But she doesn't know him. How unfortunate. How unfortunate. Because, you know, when we know Jesus like we know him, if you are a Christian, if you believe in Christ, if you have publicly proclaimed that you're a Christian, then you should be able to go to him. You should be able to go to your brothers and sisters and talk to them, and they won't judge you. And I'm going to get into that a little bit here. But everybody comes to God wanting something. And I just found it interesting that he woke me up to ask me what I wanted. I really felt special. I really felt special. But the thing, I don't deserve it. I'm not deserving of that kind of love. Just like all of us, none of us are. You know, none of us are worthy of it. But that's how God is. He is a compassionate God. And we need to learn to stay true to him. I can't read my writing here, just a second. Oh, yeah. I made a note this morning. See, when he woke me up, I wrote it down here this morning. I wrote some other stuff down. And one of the things that I wanted to mention that he shared with me was through this contentment and peace that Paul had. And if you have Christ in your heart and you truly have his contentment and peace, he'll provide everything you need. Paul was in prison, and you might think, man, he didn't provide, but he did. Because Paul's job was to reach to the Gentiles, and while Paul was in prison, he was sharing the gospel with the guards and bringing people to Christ. When I came out here for my two-year thing out here, I didn't earn more than $800 a month the whole time I was here. Never had a need for anything. So when we have God's peace and contentment like Paul does, he's going to provide for you what you need. He's not always going to provide what you ask for, because many times what we ask for, like, oh, can I win the lottery? That's not what I needed. That's not what you need. You know, for a long time, I've been thinking that I should have a wife. And I made some attempts. I've met some people. But you know what? I didn't what God wants for me. And it took me some time to understand that always what I want isn't necessarily what God wants, which isn't necessarily the best thing for me because of what God wants me to do, you see. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is how, right? All right, he says, what do you want? Why do you want it? How do you get it? Okay, well, I'm gonna talk about Colossians 3, which Pastor Paul is doing on Wednesday night, and I would encourage every one of you to come on Wednesday to hear what he's talking about in Colossians. Colossians is a great book. That's too soon, Pastor Bob. There you go. Thank you. In Colossians, there's much instruction, and I want to go over some before I read Colossians 3:15. I want to read this. I'm going to start in verse 18 because it's kind of challenging. It says, "Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord." Right? As is fitting to the Lord. Now, I know a lot of women, they hate to hear that scripture. It says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." You see, isn't it easy for a wife to submit when the husband isn't harsh? Isn't it easy to do that when you're being treated how, when I treat somebody how I want to be treated, they have a lot better relationship with me, don't they? Husbands and wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Lord treats you good, you submit to the Lord. Your husband treats you good, you submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Wow. Children, they're all grown up now, aren't they? They're all downstairs. You know, and sometimes it's hard for children to obey. So I think that as parents and adults, we have to maybe rethink how we approach them about things. Be more patient with them, maybe. I don't know. I don't have any more children, and I did a lousy job raising mine, so I'm not really good at that. But and then verse 21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." You see, when we children or anybody else, you know, if they feel that they're being put down, right? If they feel like they've been talked down to, it's not encouraging. That's discouraging to them. If you talk to them in an uplifting manner, that because we can do that. We can talk to children in an uplifting manner and discipline them at the same time. You do that, Roki? Huh? With your children? Julie? I mean, you know, we can do that. So those are some things that we need to do. And then it goes on and it says in verse 22, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters." Now, this is written many years ago. "In everything that you do, not only when their eyes are on you and to curry their favor," right? Kind of like what I was talking about with why do we want something from God? Is it really to curry God's favor or is it to curry man's favor? And Paul's writing here, he says, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human mastery. So those of you that have a job and you can't stand your boss or you can't stand the job you got, just think about how your attitude would change if you started working that job as though you were working for God himself. You see, what happens then is our whole attitude changes. Instead of being negative all the time, we're positive. And you see what happens is as we do our job or we do whatever we're doing and we're doing it for the Lord, people notice that. And pretty soon, what happens is, as you're working, it's like, wow, I used to hate this job. It ain't so bad anymore. Wow, the boss is looking at me. He's noticing me. He's offering me more money. I'm important. But you see, it's our attitude. If we truly believe in Jesus Christ, if we truly believe that he is our Lord and Savior, and if he truly is in your heart, you will start doing your jobs, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Do it as though you're working for the Lord. Amen. Do it as though you're working for the Lord to please Him. Because you see, when we work to try and please man, we get discouraged with that. Because there's nothing we're going to be able to do to please man. We only please man in our own minds. So work as though you're working for the Lord. Doesn't matter what it is. Digging ditches, scrubbing floors. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if you're doing it as though you're doing it for the Lord, your whole attitude, everybody else's attitude, will change. And if you ever notice how people just grasp onto negativity. I mean, I go to the VA, and I sit there, and there'll be a couple of guys talking, and they'll be complaining and grumbling about the wait. Well, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And they'll try and drag me into it. And they go, well, how about you? How long you been? I say, hey, not that long. And I like it here. And I like the service I'm getting. And you know what happens? It puts a real damper on that negativity. And they won't talk to me anymore. And that's good. Because I don't want them to talk to me with that negativity. I want to be positive. So at work, when someone comes up to you and they're going, yeah, this job, blah, 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 right? You go, wow, you know what? I'm really happy I have a job. I'm really happy. I'm not making as much money as I maybe would like to, but you know what? I do it like I'm working for the Lord. And you know what? When I do that, the Lord's going to provide. And He's going to provide. And He's going to provide. But more important than anything else, if you're working for the Lord, that peace and contentment that I talked about earlier, you will have it. And that is one of the greatest things God gives us outside of salvation. So work like that. It says, it goes on, it says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for the wrongs, and there is no favoritism. It's easy to get people caught up in negativity. It's easy to complain. It's easy to grumble. It's hard to be positive. That's why I think the leadership, many times in companies and in our government and such, they all do it with negativity. Isn't it amazing how people will follow so fast when someone is negative? And the only way to counter that is through Christ and to be positive and say, hey, it ain't that bad. And it's going to get better, you see? Masters, it says, provide your slaves with what is right and fair because you know that you also have a master in heaven. The one other thing I want to talk about before I get into this other verse is prayer. Pastor Paul, I love Pastor Paul. He's such a prayer warrior. And I'm not. I hate to admit that. I do pray. I just, you know, God puts it on me. It's kind of like, hey, David, you know, it's time you got back to me again. You know, can you send a couple words up my way? And I do, and I'm getting better. I do it more and more all the time. But when we want something, when God asked me, David, what do you want from me? I didn't have an instant answer. I didn't. I had to pray. And you know, God gave me my answer. Isn't that something? I mean, he knew what I needed. He knew what I wanted before he even asked me. And he knows what you want. But he had to remind me, David, do it for my glory, not yours. Okay? So, how? And Miss Lisa, you want to come up? You want to throw that verse up there, Pastor Bob? because I want to go over this verse, and then we're going to close, all right? But I want you to think about what, if God asked you, what do you want from me? And I want you to think why you want it. Colossians 3, 15 and 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. We're not called into negativity. We're not called into being anxious. We're not called into being nervous about stuff and worrying about stuff. We're called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach, and I like that, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. You know, sometimes we get really sensitive when someone wants to correct us. As Christians, we need to be open when it's coming from another Christian. Because sometimes when we're out of something, we don't see it. I mean, when we're in the middle of something, we don't see everything like someone over here can see. And if they have the love of Christ and they're coming to you and they're saying, look, you know, you might consider changing this. You might consider doing that. Or don't be afraid to go and ask for admonishment. Hey, there's a trick, huh? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And the wisdom comes from the Bible. Romans 12, 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you do that by reading your Bible, coming to Pastor Paul's studies, coming to church, not being late for church, getting here, making church your priority. You know, there's a lot of things. Many of you maybe asked for a job. And you know what? I was going to mention it. I'm going to mention it now. There are two powers on this earth. Pastor Paul talked about one earlier, or yesterday, or I can't remember. But there's the devil, and this is his world. And there's God. And the devil can give you something just as easily as God can. And he might be asking for a house or a job. And all of a sudden you get a job and you think, oh, hallelujah, God, you gave me a job. But now I can't go to church because I have to work. Now I can't go to Bible study because I don't have the time. Now I can't do this. So you have to ask yourself, because I'm going to tell you, just like in the question why, if it doesn't glorify God, it's not from him. If it keeps you from God, it's not from him. So when you're asking for that, and when you ask and you say, I want it, Jesus, to glorify you, then you know that it's not going to keep you from coming to church. It's not going to keep you from going to Bible study. It's not going to keep you from opening your Bible and reading it. Because you know that it's from God. Because God, the only person that wants to separate you from God is the devil. Not God. And there's that battle. There's that spiritual battle. I have so many sermons in today's message that I could go to. But admonish one with, okay, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, in all, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There it is, right there. You want to know what God, you know what you want to know what to ask for from God. You want to know why to ask him. You want to know how to do it. You simply ask. If you ask with Jesus in your heart, if you ask for his glory, whatever you ask for, Jesus said that, didn't he? Whatever you ask for, he'll give you. But what's the motive behind it? I asked Lisa to come up because I'm going to close now. And I just thought about her plucking on her guitar while I was reading that. Now, I don't know how many of you need some prayer for a change in your life. I don't know how many of you need prayer to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you need prayer to renew your walk with the Lord. But I hope that today you got something from the message. I hope today that God's Holy Spirit convicted you, that it wasn't me that convicted you. Because I'm nothing. I'm nobody. All I am is an instrument of God. And I am so humbled that He even uses me. Because I'm not even worthy of that with all the things that I've done. So I'm just going to ask you, Pastor Bob, you want to come up? And if anyone needs some prayer, Pastor Bob, Pastor Paul, we'll come up and you can come on up and we'll pray for you. You know, there might be, you can stand, please, stand. Yeah, I'm sorry. But if you want to come up and hear about something, we will be more than happy to do that for you.